Dear beloved Muslims, Allah Most High says in the Quran, يُصَوِّرُكُمْ فِي أُمَّهَاتِ فِي بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ. He shapes you in the wombs of your mothers. He shapes you in the wombs of your mothers. This should bring to mind the importance of life for us. Life is no accident. Life has development that has been given to it by God. Allah Most High, He created life, gave us life, created for us the disciplines of life. And we are shaped, as He says, in the wombs of our mothers. It is given in hadith that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, peace and the blessings be upon him, that he said that Adam was created by God on a pattern or design, and that a human being cannot get to heaven except on that pattern. And the word that God used for that is also surah. The same word used for the shaping of us in the wombs of our mothers, surah, which tells us that God has given us a design for our developmental nature. And we are to develop in that way that God has ordered and designed. And that way was given to Adam, the first man, the first parent, Adam. Muslims don't believe that Adam is just a creature created by God only. Muslims also believe that God taught Adam, that God gave Adam great knowledge, that Adam was a learned man, inspired, created by God, inspired by God, and educated by God. God taught him, Allah says in the Quran, that he taught Adam the names of things. عَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءِ كُلَّهَا. He taught Adam the names, all of them, all of the names. So we know from that Adam was a creature created by God and taught by God, and that Adam is our ancestor, the first of the human ancestors. Praise be to Allah. So if we understand that now, and then God says to us in Quran that He shapes us, or He gives us the design, the same design that He gave Adam, that He gives us that design in the wombs of our mothers, in the wombs of our mothers, then we should place great importance upon the mother. We should value our mothers very highly. We should regard them very highly. Allah says, wattaqullaha, fear God, wal arhama, and the relationships that bear you, and those relationships that are responsible for you being born. So God teaches us to respect our birth, the mother that bore us, and the relationships responsible for the birth. Respect those things with deep respect. Have deep regard for those relationships. For without them, we couldn't be here. There's no way for us to be here without that. The only way to come here is through the means that Allah created. And Allah has created mother as a means for us to come here, to develop for 9 months or less or so in her, normally 9 months, and then be delivered from her and be rested upon her knees, upon her lap, and taken care of as an infant until we can manage for ourselves, and then we release to the society. We have to really value the life that is responsible for delivering us. Allah has created that delivery system, and it's responsible for delivering us. And we have to value it and respect it very highly. Find the people who value that, and you'll find a strong people. Find the people who don't value that, you'll find the weak people. They are the weak ones. Those who don't value those things are the weak people on the earth. Those who highly value those delivery systems that are responsible for bringing their life on this earth, those are the people that are the strong people on this earth. So we can point to many problems that we have, but I don't think we need to go out of the home. Let's start there first. Let's go to the home first and see if we respect the life. The life bed. That's the life bed. That's where it starts. See if we respect the life bed and respect those relationships that make for the first unit of life, family. Allah has put much great attention on family values for us in the Quran. The Muslims are people who can't give themselves to a hymn book religion. Their religion must be more than just hymn books. Muslims are people who have to respect the community life. And Allah says that He has made us what? Ummatan wahida. He says, Ummatukum ummatan wahida wa ana rabbukum fa'abudun. Your community is one united community, and I am your Lord. Therefore, worship me. Therefore, worship me. And Allah has given us Muhammad, the Prophet, peace be upon him, and the blessings be upon him, as an example to us of the most excellent conduct that God wants in his creature. And he's a model for us in every aspect of our life. He's a model in the home of the excellent father, of the excellent husband, of the excellent relative. If you study his history, his sunnah, his seerah, the seerah of the prophet, the history of the biography of the prophet, that close history, close to his personal life. The sunnah carries all of it. But if you study that history close to his personal life, when we ask about the personal life of someone, they give it in an autobiography. They usually tell us where he was born, what land, something about his family, the family he was born in, the time in the calendar he was born in, and what was the major part of his life? What were the most attractive or most interesting things in his life? That's what they tell us. And we have that in the seerah of the Prophet. Seerah is called. Seerah of the Prophet. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Peace and blessing be on him. And in there, we learn how he conducted himself as a husband, how he conducted himself as a father, how he conducted himself as a relative, related to his uncles, related to his cousins, related to people, how he conducted himself as a relative, how he conducted himself also as a leader, responsible, as a responsible person for that was charged to him. Whenever his own image or his own interest was threatened by a situation, he didn't protect his image in that situation. He protected truth. He protected righteousness. He protected his obedience to God. Someone will say, well, the Prophet Muhammad never had any occasion to give explanation for his own conduct. Yes, he did. Abasa wa tawalla in ja'ahu al-a'ma. And he frowned and turned away when the blind man approached him. And that's not the other only occasion. That's the mention in Quran. But there were other more insignificant, small occasions, small situations where the Prophet Muhammad had to give explanation or had to kind of condescend, so to speak. One occasion when people were putting fertilizer on their plants, and the Prophet had said, do not dung the plants. Do not put that filth in the plants. And he learned that they had stopped dunging the plants. They had stopped using the fertilizer. And it was brought to his attention. This is reported in Bukhari and Muslim. And it was brought to his attention. And he said, oh no. He said, continue to do as you were doing before. Obviously, he was responsible for saying something to them that they couldn't understand, they couldn't grasp. And it caused the problem. When the matter got back to him, then he told them, oh no, don't stop that. And he explained that I'm the messenger of God. In matters of divine revelation, trust me. Follow what I say and obey me. But in other matters, regard me as a man. This is the Prophet. In other matters, regard me as a man, because he was a human prophet. He was a human being. He was a human prophet. He wasn't God. He wasn't an angel. He was a prophet. So, it says, in other matters, then regard me as a man, as a human being. We know we have to have proper respect for him, even though he allows us that. Still, there is a respect we have to give him as a prophet, you see. But what he's saying, that he's capable of making mistakes. And I don't believe that Prophet Muhammad had to be reprimanded by God for his conduct. I believe Allah allowed that. So it'll be on the record that he's not the boss. He's reprimanded also. So Allah reprimands him in the Quran. Praise be to Allah. So if we follow his example, we'll be wonderful people. We are not prophets. So when we are put in a situation where we have to choose between defending our ego and defending righteousness or justice or truth, we have to suffer the ego problem. Suffer the blow to the ego. And do what is right before Allah. If we do that, we will have a good society. If our leaders do that, we'll have a good society. Yes. See, all the people, they can't measure up to that responsibility. But if our leaders will do that, we'll have a good society. And I guess that's why the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, said, we Muslims, we do not accept anyone who come to us asking for a position. The one who asks for the position is not to get it. Like, I would like to be Imam of the Masjid. If we follow the Prophet, we won't give it to you. The Prophet said the people who are to serve should be chosen. They should be chosen. They should not come up and say, volunteer, I want to do this job. You can volunteer for a job, but not for a position. Don't volunteer for a position. The people should choose you for a position. The people know you. Let the honorable people among us represent you. And say, well, let them spot you. Say, we think this person will make a good leader, a good imam for the masjid. Or this person will make a good man for this business. Whatever it is, let somebody represent you. Don't you come yourself. That's not Islamic. That's not the Muslim character, to put yourself out front there like that. Somebody say, well, I heard you were going to run for president. Yeah, because you want me to. I wouldn't have said it if you didn't want me to. Praise be to Allah. So let us understand that the best life for us is Quranic life. And Quran, as Prophet Muhammad taught it and lived it. Following his example, we are sure to have success. In his farewell address, Muhammad the Prophet said, peace be on him, he said, I leave you two things, that if you follow them, you will not go wrong. Two authorities. He said they are the Quran and my Sunnah. The Quran and my Sunnah. Now that's clear. That is clear. So there's no room for doubt in this religion. We know the way is clear. The way is very clear. We have to follow the Quran. Not our dreams. Not our concoctions. We have to follow it as Prophet Muhammad taught us. He said, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Peace and blessings be on him. That was the first thing he said. La ilaha illallah. There is nothing to worship except one, Allah, God. Muhammadur Rasulullah, and Muhammad is his messenger. That's what he said. So if someone now make a messenger God, is he Muslim? No. He has broken with the religion. He has gone out of the religion. Prophet Muhammad said, no God but one God, and Muhammad is his messenger. Is somebody now going to make Muhammad a God? What's wrong? And it was revealed to Muhammad, Lam yalid wa lam yulad. Qul huwa Allahu ahad. Allahu samad. Lam yalid wa lam yulad. Wa lam yakun lahu kufuwan ahad. Say, he, Allah, is only one. Allah is eternal. Depends on nothing. Never gave birth to any child. And never was born. This is what Allah said plainly in Quran. And this is what Prophet Muhammad told us. From his mouth came the revelation that God put on his heart. Now, are we going to differ with that? And yet call ourselves Muslims? In the secular world, they put you in jail for that. They carry to court, condemn you, and make fine you, and I'll put you to jail for that. You're still a source, and then change it, and still use the same name. Let's see how wonderful Allah is. He let the forces of righteousness live by the forces of wickedness, side by side. And without the court, it will be decided. Praise be to Allah. Dear beloved Muslims, Allah Most High says in Surah Ibrahim, the chapter by the name of Abraham, Ibrahim, peace be upon the Prophet Ibrahim. Allah Most High says, Allahu alladhi lahu ma fis samawati wa ma fil ard. Allah is He. And don't get mixed up on this He. I know what you were taught years ago. If you knew Arabic, you wouldn't be mixed up. We say, Al-Qamara Huwa, the moon, he. There's no way to say it any other way. We don't have any it in Arabic. We say, Al-Qamara Huwa. So if you heard us saying, the moon, he, rose this morning, would you think we're talking about a man? So see, in Arabic language, in the language of the Quran, there's no problem. But when newcomers come along without the knowledge, and they read in English, they can go astray, especially when they bring pagan ideas, idolatrous ideas with them. not to blame anybody but the wrongdoer. The innocent are not guilty. They're innocent. Allah is He to whom belongs the skies and the earth. Don't just hear it. Think about it. And from this moment on, if you didn't think this way before, when you look at the skies, that's Allah's. That's what He said belongs to Him. When you think about the earth, all what's down here, remember, that's Allah's. وَوَيْلٌ لِلْكَافِرِينَ مِنْ عَذَابٍ شَدِيدٍ. And woe be unto the disbelievers. Means those who reject faith with a defiant rejection. Defying the truth while they see it. Woe be upon those. They shall receive a severe punishment. الَّذِينَ يَسْتَحِبُّونَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا عَلَى الْآخِرَةِ. Those who are deeply in love with the world more so than the hereafter. This material world is their choice over the hereafter. Now, we have to stop here. Muslims are not to attach themselves to this world. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, in this world I am as a traveler. I put my tent up or camp under a tree and go on. This is how Prophet Muhammad told us how he relate to the world. And it is given of Prophet Muhammad, who is the excellent, the most excellent of God's creation. It is given of him that he said, in his dua, he prayed a dua he had. He prayed a dua. He said, oh Allah, I'm a poor man in this world. Let me live a poor man. And let me die a poor man. And resurrect me a poor man. He did not desire wealth. Now you have to understand, don't be like these mystic gurus. You have to understand now. No, not gurus. A lot of the gurus, they wealthy. I got the wrong clan. Excuse me, I have the wrong clan. I don't mean the gurus, I mean the saints. These hermits and priests and recluse, those fellows that go off from the world and give up on all material world and everything. Those are the fellows I'm talking about. Prophet Muhammad was not one of those fellows. You have to understand that Prophet Muhammad managed great wealth. Prophet Muhammad managed great wealth, abundance of wealth. But he himself lived as a poor man. That's the meaning. He encouraged business growth. He encouraged economic development. And great sums of money came through his hands. Great wealth came through his hands. But he didn't spend it on himself. For himself, he chose the life of a poor person. I remember as a child seeing Jews in our neighborhood running businesses. And they looked as poor as we looked. But as I grew older, I learned that those Jews, some of them were millionaires. Now, they were deceitful. They were deceitful. But Prophet Muhammad, he lived on the level of the poor, and he was truthful. His wife and some of their companions wanted to make his life more comfortable for him. They wanted to give him a more comfortable bed to rest on. And he woke up one morning and said, who put this? Who changed this? Peace be on the prophet. Who made this so nice and comfortable? See, this will spoil me. I like it the way it was before. This is Prophet Muhammad. Praise be to Allah. Wonderful man. He is the leader for all the people. See, the leader for all the people, he can't go off and say, I'm poor and give up wealth. I'm going to lead a movement against wealth. What about those people that ain't got no bread? Who's going to feed them? You? You're not going to feed them? Okay, they need another leader. They need bread. They need milk. They need shoes. They need the necessities of life. Okay, you say you're a leader and you don't want wealth and you and all your fellows, all your followers going away from wealth. You don't want no world. Well, who's going to lead those people that need those things? Who's going to be their leader? The devil? The criminals? The crooks? That's what you'll do. You'll lead their life to the crooks, to the criminals. They'll have to go to the criminals for subsistence, for the bare necessities of life. Prophet Muhammad was the leader for all the people. So he collected great wealth. And he encouraged business. He himself, before being chosen as a messenger of God, he himself was a businessman.